Hi, everyone. My name is Peter, and I'm what we call an audience evangelism manager from Microsoft in Belgium. This is my colleague.
Nick. Hi, I'm a technical evangelist at Microsoft, and I work together with Peter.
So we're here today to give you a country recap for all things Belgium at Build. You actually might see the picture behind us. You can see a little hashtag there in the top left-hand corner, and it says Belgians at Build. That's actually the hashtag that we're using at the moment to communicate with our audiences, to keep in touch with them, and make sure that we're connecting with developers in Belgium. First thing to tell you about today is that we actually ran a competition during the live stream, which just happened a couple of hours ago. And basically, during the live stream, there was a prize, Nick, that was pretty interesting, which is that we had a prize of a Surface 3. We had a ticket for a local developer event called Techorama, and we also had a ticket for Build 2017. And we're very happy just to announce, first of all, that the winners for those, for the Surface 3, was a guy called Stefan. The winner for the Techorama ticket was Matthias. And the winner for the Build 2017 ticket was one of our friends in our community in Belgium called Wesley. So it's pretty cool. But we're not here today just to talk about competitions, obviously. We also want to talk about what happened with the event. So Nick, there was a really big emphasis today on Windows 10. Can you perhaps expand a bit in terms of what was announced?
Yeah, there's really some nice messages there. First and foremost, we right now have like 270 million users on Windows 10, which is really great. And as of the big announcement, what we had is what we call the anniversary update. So, and with that update comes a lot of nice features. And one key feature I like particularly is the whole concept of inking. So we've been focusing on more personal computing over the last couple of months. And inking has really been something that was in the platform, but which was kind of sometimes difficult to discover for people. And with the ink workspace, all of the inking and using of pens is becoming a lot more discoverable for people. So they just pick up a tablet, use their pen, and they can start straight off the bat. So that's really good. And following on that is for developers, adding inking to your applications has become really, really simple. So it's really nice seeing that personal touch coming to Windows 10 and being there up front and center.
Cool. For me, I really like the idea, Nick. Obviously, we work together in a team, and I really like the idea of using the ruler to help when it comes to making all those PowerPoint presentations. You know me, I like my pictures to be aligned, and if they can be aligned using that ruler functionality, I think that's pretty cool. So, Nick, for the Microsoft developers, Windows really is the place to be, obviously, but for other developers, it hasn't necessarily always been. Did I really see a demo today of a Linux tool working on Windows?
Yeah, amazing, amazing, right? Yeah, traditionally, like for web developers specifically, Linux is really their place to be in terms of their core developer machine. And what we've announced today is, together with Canonical, where we partnered up, is we've brought the Bash shell onto the Windows platform, and not just running Bash in a VM, but really taking it and run it natively on Windows 10. Which again is amazing, and as a consequence of that, what you can do is you can take a Linux binary, let's say you want to use Emacs for doing your web development, and just run it on your Windows 10 box, just as if you were running on Linux, which makes kind of the Windows platform more home for any developer, not just those familiar with Windows 10, but also those familiar with Linux and Linux tooling.
Interesting. And when you're talking about home, interestingly enough, like Windows has also been the home for a lot of .NET and Win32 developers, but they haven't necessarily what we like to call cross the bridge yet. Nick, can you tell us more about what's next on the journey for them?
Yeah, so last year we announced our bridging technologies, of which one was Project Centennial, where you could take an existing .NET or Win32 app and basically run it, convert it into a universal Windows platform app. And we've kind of progressed on that project, and we're ready now to announce what is called the Desktop App Converter, where you take just .NET, Win32 code with some minor changes, you can port it into the universal Windows platform, use all of the goodness that is in the UWP platform, all of the APIs that exist, and then basically publish your app or the demo that we saw was Age of Empires. Just published that one to the store, which again, it's quite impressive to see. With minimal changes, you can take what existed before, take the old age, and bring it forward into the new world of UWP. Now, taking that a bit further, looking at gaming, another massive announcement there is Universal Windows Platform. It is really universal, where you could take an application and run it across a mobile phone, a tablet, your desktop, but also bring it to Xbox. But what's kind of lagging there a bit is the fact that, well, you couldn't yet take, as a normal developer, take an app and run it on Xbox. And what we announced today is that you can take any retail, and I want to re-emphasize on retail, Xbox machine, and convert it into a dev kit. So you can just grab your code of your Universal Windows Platform app, you run it in Visual Studio, and just connect it up to your retail Xbox machine. Wow. And start debugging, deploying your app onto your own Xbox without having to use some extraordinary developer kit. So that's really, really massive.
Yeah, I really like that announcement too. And it's great to see, obviously, these development for gamers, Nick, continuing to evolve. It seems like there's a new platform as well, Nick. So within gaming, there's often, you know, you can talk to your Xbox, you can shout at it, you can scream at it if you're really into screaming at your Xbox. But it seems like this story is coming together a bit more. I think Satya referred to it in his keynote. He named it something. What was the name again, Nick?
Yeah, he called it Conversation as a platform, which is really, well, it's all says it. So as I referred to earlier, we had more personal computing being more up front and center. And adding those human conversations, those human experiences to your computing experience is really key. We already saw these personal digital assistants where you can talk to your mobile phone, to your smartphone, using any kind of personal digital assistant. But what we want is really that you can bridge and you can take that experience, that human experience of conversing, talking to your machine, across all of your devices. So whether it's a mobile phone, whether it's a PC, whether it's your Xbox. So that you can just continue that human experience across all of your devices. And one such example and where we're taking that step forward into conversation as a platform is with the Skype application. Skype is basically the key application you're using for making conversations with friends, with people at work. And what we announced today is basically that you will be able to use Cortana integration. You'll be using bots inside of your Skype chat messages and chat conversations. And taking that further even into video conversations as well. So you can really, really take that human experience into whatever you're doing in terms of computing.
But most importantly, does that mean I can then order a pizza on Skype?
You really watched the keynote very well. There was indeed a nice example, a nice demo of taking that conversation, an atypical conversation that you're having is like picking up your phone, calling Domino, for example, and ordering a pizza. So what we saw is that this new platform, this conversation as a platform concept, is that you can converse basically with bots, with the pizza bot, order your pizza, and it will kind of use the context that you're in to determine where you are, where to deliver the pizza to, really using natural language to make that conversation, to order pizza, to have all kinds of scenarios using conversation as a platform. So it's really tying into using conversations, being able to use services, APIs, and this is what we call the cognitive services. Using those services to recognize natural language, to recognize objects that are sitting around you, especially if you're doing bots that will be interacting using video, for example. You want to have that recognition of your world where you're sitting in and the context that you're in, all using those services and APIs.
And one thing I saw within that service is that even people who aren't necessarily comfortable with coding, that they can even take part within the user interface. What did you see there, Nick, in terms of the user interface, like where you drag and drop or something?
Yeah, so basically we'll typically, well, natural language concepts have been around for quite some time, but they used to be very complex to build applications off of. You need it. It's all based on data science, and that's traditionally been very hard to do. You needed some high-profile education, some high degree to be able to do so, let alone build solutions using those concepts. And what we've seen with what we call the bot framework is that you get an easy, accessible solution and framework for you to build those kind of bots that allow you to do this natural language understanding, where you can build up your dictionaries, the semantics of basically understanding what is happening in a conversation, and taking that forward and integrating that into your application. So this framework really kind of bridges the gap between the high-end knowledge that you need for natural language understanding and implementing it in an application.
Yeah. It's really for me, what was particularly interesting about it is that I've always seen this area as being something where you need to almost have like a degree in computer science to even understand. And the fact that you can already get into it through such a tool like this, I think that's really going to open up the whole technology to a new generation of developers. Yeah, really interesting. Something today as well was obviously HoloLens. You know, being that we represent the Belgians at Build, there was a lot of, I would say, conversations with people looking to find out what's happening with the HoloLens. Can you perhaps recap, you know, some of the announcements made with HoloLens today in terms of the actual demonstrations that were shown, like what was shown and who was there to kind of demonstrate what's happening at the moment with HoloLens?
Yeah, so first and foremost is that the HoloLens Development Edition, so the actual developer kits, will start shipping today to those people registered, are really going to be there getting their device and be able to play with it and build applications off of it. So that's one key announcement. Now, looking at what was presented there, first we saw like a demo of a more health scenario, or health and education scenario, where you have students in healthcare trying to grasp basically the different concepts of understanding the human body and the impact of diseases on a body, where you can actually visualize that 3D visualization of a body through your HoloLens to more easily and more quicker have better understanding of how the human body works, and get better students, get better at doing basically your work, which was a really nice example. Second example, which also is nice in terms of announcements, is when we announced the HoloLens, we also allowed people, developers, and anyone around basically to submit ideas of what you could imagine doing with a HoloLens. And one of those things was the Galaxy Explorer. We actually explore the stars and all of the objects in space using your HoloLens, basically touching the sky through your HoloLens device. And what we announced there is not only will that application that has been built and will be available through the store, so we'll have a complete HoloLens section inside of the store, where you can discover your HoloLens apps. Mm-hmm. But what is more is that we have published the source code of that application onto GitHub. So you can take that example and build off of it if you want to, or just look at it as an example of how to build HoloLens applications. So really nice and really hands-on experience with HoloLens becomes a lot easier. So you have the initial basic steps to get going.
Cool. And for me, Nick, obviously one of the exciting things that was mentioned with HoloLens as well was the Mars Explorer. I think, you know, where you can basically view Mars. One thing I'm looking forward to trying, obviously we're here in San Francisco at Build, is hopefully having the chance to demo the unit over here and see whether we can get our hands on and give it a go. So what for you is, what's some of the other things that you're looking forward to over the next couple of days here that's particularly caught your attention based on the announcements today and perhaps finding a little bit more about?
Well, one of the things is, there was already a lot of interesting stuff and announcements today, which is really cool. But I'm really looking forward to tomorrow. Yeah. And the whole, basically, Azure and cloud solutions that will be announced. So all of the announcements coming from Scott Guthrie. Really looking forward to that on tomorrow's keynote. So this is really something that I'm looking forward to.
Excellent. I can tell you as well, Nick, we've also got something to look forward to as well today, which is that we're obviously going to be having a country drink out tonight.
Yeah,
with 26 Belgians are actually coming tonight for Belgians that build a country drink in a place just around the corner. I think it's called Thirsty Bear. Where they have Spanish tapas. It's always kind of an interesting thing. For the trip in San Francisco in general, Nick, like, what do you think, what more would you say that there's planned for you for the rest of the week? Apart from the sessions tomorrow with Scott, is there any other insights? Or, you know, we're going to finish at 3 p.m. on Friday and then we have to fly back on Saturday.
Yeah.
What would you say is going to be something we'll be doing between now and then?
One thing that I've already started with, and as you can see probably of some of the sunburn I have on my face, since I've been cycling in the city. So that's
going to mention it.
Yeah, that's definitely something that we should elaborate a bit more on, just rent a bike and go touring to see the city, especially with the nice weather that we have here up in San Francisco, which is, as opposed to what we have in Belgium, is something that we definitely need to do, just explore and cross the bridge. Here at San Francisco.
Indeed. So thanks very much, everyone, for joining us today for the quick recap that we put together here from the Belgian team. We thought this was a great opportunity, obviously, sitting here. Normally, I'm in Seth's seat, obviously, doing a quick recap of everything that we've seen here today. For all, obviously, to keep up to date with everything that you see over the next couple of days, make sure you continue to watch Channel 9 and follow all of the live sessions being delivered. We're also looking forward to the keynote from Scott Guthrie tomorrow. Make sure you're watching as well. But for now, thanks very much for joining us, and we look forward to speaking to you soon. Thanks.
See ya.